Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. That's the sound of striking workers at Boston's Westin Copley Hotel today. The strike is now in its third week, with the main issue being pay, benefits, and scheduling. Tommy Ivory has worked at the Westin Copley for 34 years, and he says he hopes to go back to work soon.
I like to see that things come to a conclusion. We don't need to go as long as 3 or 4 weeks. Hopefully both sides can come to a conclusion, say, I'm willing to sign it and get it done. And wanted to fix it for all us middle-class people who are trying to get by.
Joining us to talk about this strike is Carlos Aramayo, Financial Secretary Treasurer of the Hotel Workers Union Unite Here Local 26. Welcome, Carlos.
Yeah, welcome. Glad to be here.
So tell us, we've got more than 1,000 workers on strike in Boston. A lot of folks picketing, pounding drums down by the Westin Copley. How much, you know, what are the big, I think, obstacles here, the big things that are getting in the way of a contract?
Yeah, there are 1,500 Marriott workers who are currently on strike in Boston, and that's part of 7,700 workers on strike across the United States in San Francisco, Hawaii, San Diego, various other places. And the slogan of the campaign is one job should be enough. If folks look around the city of Boston, I've lived here for a long time, you can see that the cost of living in the city has increased. And working people, working class people, a lot of folks from communities of color who work in our city have been pushed outside of the city. Mm. They can't make ends meet with one job anymore. They can't live here. I think the Boston Foundation recently published a study talking about how the middle class is shrinking. And there are real challenges for folks to pay rent, to be able to retire with dignity, and to be able to live here in this city.
Wages.
Yeah. Yeah,
wages,
it makes a big
difference.
Issue. Yeah.
So that's the issue that we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, wages. And I think as part of that, it's really about income. And there's two parts of income. One is wages, and folks definitely want to see their wages increase. And the second thing is this prevalent nature of part-time jobs. And lots of jobs that used to be full-time jobs, jobs like hotel housekeeping, there's been a lot of cuts that are taking place by companies like Marriott. That have really taken people off the schedule. People with 10, 15 years of seniority are sleeping with the phone by their pillow to see if they get called in the next day.
I read that sort of green choice program where folks can decide if they want their towels washed or their linens washed. That actually has meant that the hotels, what they've done in exchange is then told people that we may not need you. So that's why they're on an on-call basis instead of a regular schedule. And so that's an issue.
That's right. Yeah. No, the green choice program, which, you know, I think is a bit of a greenwashing program, is a real issue. And I think a lot of customers don't know, and I think people are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to say, hey, I want to take care of the environment, and that's great. I think a lot of folks don't know that the consequence of that is that Marriott is taking folks off the schedule, and they're staying at home. They're not being able to make the income that they need to live in the city, and we got folks moving to New Hampshire, moving to New Bedford, moving to Fall River, folks getting pushed out of the city.
When these workers that we're talking about that are represented by Local 26, what's the average wage?
Yeah, so folks make a real range of wages, and it depends on the job category folks have. You know, folks make as little as, you know, the folks in the gratuitied parts make, you know, $7 an hour, $8 an hour. Folks can make up to $20, $21 an hour in these jobs. But as I said, in some ways, it doesn't really matter what your hourly wage is. If there has been a systematic cutting back of the number of hours folks have, folks' annual incomes are declining in a city where the cost of living is increasing.
But I wonder how much longer people can go without a paycheck.
Yeah, look, it's been really amazing. I think you heard a little bit of it at the Westin in the little clip you played. Folks' spirits are still high, and folks are determined to get this resolved and to be able to move forward in terms of their income, in terms of being able to have one job be enough. And, you know, folks are, we've been raising money from the general public. A lot of folks have been contributing to our strike assistance fund, which has really been amazing. And then a lot of folks are really just helping each other out, right? Obviously, a lot of folks have different financial situations. Some people better, some people more difficult, but folks are really working together to stay on strike and to stay strong. And our picket lines have been strong for, you know, we're in the third week now, and we still got thousands of people coming out every day.
What about negotiations? I understand a federal mediator's involved. What's happening?
Yeah, the lines of communication are open, and I think we want to be clear about that. You know, we're not kind of taking a our way or the highway approach to this. We do have lines of communications open with the company. There is a federal mediator involved. And, you know, we really hope that as this, I think, crisis for Marriott has grown in multiple cities, that the company will come to the table, will present reasonable proposals to resolve our, I think, modest demands, and help people move forward. I think you heard that in the clip you heard.
Right. Yeah. Briefly, what are the demands? You said wages, you said, you know, total compensation, regular schedules. I mean, just very briefly, because we don't have a lot of time here, but if you could say what's the main, you know, one or two demands?
Sure. Income makes a big difference. Number two.
Income means a percentage of, I understand that income is an issue, but are you talking about a percentage for all of these workers or?
Yeah, I think, as I said, a lot of folks make their money in different ways in this mm-hmm. industry. Everyone needs their income to move forward to be able to live in this city where the cost of living has increased. That's the number one issue. Number two is retirement. A lot of our folks can't retire because they can't afford health coverage when they retire. And we have housekeepers who are 75, almost pushing 80 years old, still working on the floors.
So you're asking for like a 401k plan for these?
No, for something to allow them. We have a pension, but something that could boost the pension to allow some of these more senior employees to be able to retire to cover the cost of the Medicare Part C and things like that, and so when they retire.
Okay, I want to turn now to someone who can talk a little bit about this in general. Bob Forint is on the line. He's a labor historian and professor at UMass Lowell. Hello, Professor.
Good afternoon.
So what do you think this Marriott strike symbolizes in terms of a labor action?
In terms of putting it in some historical context, it's not unlike strikes of the 1930s or even the early 20th century, when workforces that were unorganized and or low-waged began to figure out how solidarity across different hotels, in this case, or auto plants or steel mills or woolen mills in Lawrence in 1912, are able to figure out how do we create unity and move our lives forward. And when I listen to the issues and the demands, it reminds me of other strikes I've either written about or studied across much of the late 19th, early 20th century.
But when we've got a national grid strike going on, that's been going on for weeks, and now we've got this hotel strike that's been going on for weeks, I wonder, what does this say about the employers that are allowing this to go on for weeks? And especially these hotels, it looks as if you believe TripAdvisor reviews, there are lots of people complaining on TripAdvisor about what's happening at some of these hotels. So they have a real chance to lose some revenue here because of this. Why are the employers seemingly allowing these to drag on?
I think employers in general have been emboldened around the country, really, to think this is a vulnerable time for workers and unions. We've had the recent Janus Supreme Court case decision on public workers. There have been a whole host of other efforts to try to create more right-to-work states and other things. And the climate is such that I think it gives them the idea that they can be far more aggressive. It's actually pretty strange because we have a fairly tight labor market, and if workers who are on strike or locked out at National Grid find other jobs, then, you know, these companies are going to end up behind the eight ball because there just aren't random crowds of workers around. And hotel workers have a skill, have a trade, and it's not something someone's going to pick up off the street in 45 minutes to an hour. So it's penny wise and pound foolish in the end, but I think they do think they can be aggressive now just because of the tenor at the top of the country that's just very clearly anti-labor union.
How significant is this strike in particular for the hospitality industry, would you say?
I think it's huge because this is in many ways an example sort of like Ford Motor Company back in the 1930s. Workers tried to figure out, okay, well, where's a real key player in the automobile industry? And if we can crack that one, if we can get better wages and benefits and union recognition, you know, then this is going to bode well for workers across the board. And so Marriott's been incredibly profitable. They've been buying other hotel chains. It's not like they can plead poverty. And so they're a key actor. And if Local 26 is able in Boston and then the other locals around the country are able to be successful, it sends a good message to other hotel workers in other places. And it may actually lead some hotels to just settle rather than take a strike, because they'll see the handwriting on the wall.
We should say we have a statement from Marriott. Just to paraphrase it here, it says, "We respect the right of our associates to voice their opinions, but we will welcome back any associate who chooses to return to work, and we are working to get this resolved as quickly as possible." So that's what Marriott says about this. But I wonder, we've got some big events coming up here. We found out that the Red Sox are going to the World Series. We've got the head of the Charles Regatta that we just heard about on this show. We're going to need a lot of hotel rooms. How do you think that Boston will fare? And we've only got a few seconds here. How do you think Boston will fare with those big events and this strike going on? What would you say, Mr. Forum?
I would hope that the people who might be thinking of staying in the struck hotels don't do what the New York Yankees did. And I'm going to figure that the New York Yankees crossing the picket line, they're now cursed.
All right. Bob Forent, labor historian and professor of history at UMass Lowell and apparently a Red Sox fan. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Also, Carlos Aramayo, Financial Secretary, Treasurer of the Hotel Workers Union Unite here, Local 26. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
I'm Deborah Becker. Have a good weekend. This is Radio Boston.